1 John chapter 2, we're going to read verse 20, if you would. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. If you're there, say amen. It says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Verse 21 says, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." And verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the study tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, what a wonderful church and wonderful people. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for Brother Mutchler and Miss Vicky. And Lord, I thank you for just the faithfulness of your people throughout the years and how we can come and even many years later see that many have been here a long time, and we thank you for that. And Lord, tonight I pray that you just give us what we need, and Lord, that you would use this, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I do want to say thank you to Jay and Jeannie. What wonderful people. You'll not find two better people in the world than Jay and Jeannie. And I sure appreciate them and what they were able to do to help my family when we were here, and what a blessing they were. I will have to say this, Brother Mutchler. I can remember when I came to Brother Mutchler and said, "Preacher, I believe God's wanting me to take a church in Texas." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And he said, I said, "Yeah." I said, "It's a church of five." And he said, "Oh, okay." Didn't seem too excited about that. And I said, "Well, we're just going to step out by faith." And he says, "All right, well, we'll be praying for you." And I was kind of a little worried about it myself. I didn't know how that was going to turn out. And sure enough, it's just amazing how God works. You know, you step out by faith and you trust the Lord, and he'll take care of you. For those of you that are kind of out there right now saying, "I got to trust the Lord right now," you just need to trust the Lord. He'll take care of you. And he always does. I want to kind of help you in this with this truth and take you back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, if I could. There's a word there that actually stuck out to me. I was reading a book, and this word just stuck out to me and just kept sticking out to me, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I went to the scripture, and of course, this word is an amazing word, and that word is found there in verse 20, and that word is called unction. Unction. It's an amazing word. It's an amazing word when you look it up and you look up that word unction. It's another word for it's a word for charisma, or charisma is another word for unction, which charisma is excitement. Charisma is something that's alive, and likewise, unction also, if you look up that word, is a special endowment. Basically an endowment of the Holy Spirit. Basically, it means an anointing. An anointing. And boy, I got to thinking about that and thinking about the anointing that God gives, and got to doing some studying on prayer. And boy, if there's one thing we at Homeline Baptist Church we try to do around there is we try to have a lot of prayer. Amen. We have, thank you. God bless you, whoever said that. And maybe he believes in prayer too, all right? But anyways, I like it. I like it to have a praying church. I like it when we have a praying church. You have a praying church. I can remember Brother Mutchler and coming down and having a prayer time or two up here and praying till midnight once or twice when I was here. And just having some late night prayer meetings and some different times like that. And I always wanted to get in those kind of meetings. I always wanted to get in those prayer times where it took a little sacrifice. You know, not everybody, Brother Mutchler, is just wanting to say, "Yeah, let me go pray from 9 to midnight." Not too many people are excited about that. It's like, well, I hope they show up, Brother Chris. You know, Brother Chris is saying, yeah, I hope they show up too, you know. Hope they show up. You know, you never know who's going to show up when you have something like that. And I just got to a point where I started a prayer meeting on Friday morning at our church at 6 a.m. every Friday morning. I told my son, Sam, I said, Sam, we're going. If it's just you and me, it's just going to be the two of us. And sure enough, that's what it was for a little bit. And before you know it, that Friday morning prayer meeting grew a little bit to where it was 3 or 4 on Friday morning. Then it was 6 and 8. Then before you know it, it was 12 and 14. And boy, Friday morning, there was at times we'd have 25 men there on Friday morning. And just getting a hold of the Lord on Friday morning for about an hour. Well, then the Lord laid it on my heart, says, do you really want to see something big and see God do something big? Then this is what you're going to do. This is what you need to do. You need to have a prayer meeting on Saturday nights from 9 to midnight. I'm like, no, God, I don't want to do that. I really like my sleep too much. God says, no, you just go, and if anybody wants to join you, they'll join you. And I told my staff that. I said, they said, you're stupid, you're crazy, I don't like you, and all that kind of stuff. And their wives said the same thing, and I'm not telling you this. I hope your preacher doesn't do that, because I wouldn't want to do that to you. But anyways, I just said, we're going to do that. Well, eventually, we the older people said, preacher, we're really tired. Can you change it from 7 to 10? I said, okay, we'll do that. And so, anyhow, to make a long story short, we still have a prayer meeting every Saturday night from 7 to 10. But we do a lot of things. Your preacher's been to that prayer meeting with us. But I think one thing we're missing in our churches and in Christianity today, and that's prayer. I think if one thing that we could get more of in the Christian life, that would be prayer. I think if there's one thing that we're hurting in, and that is really being able to get a hold of God. Really being able to get a hold of the throne of God to where we see God do something big. I don't know, I don't want to pastor a church, and boy, your preacher's been a tremendous influence on my ministry, and Brother Musher, just watching him over the past 16 years of being up here in the Northwest and following everything that he does, I don't think he ever realized how much I was just kind of dialed in, and I didn't always say a whole lot. I would just sit back and watch, preacher, and just watch things you do and how you handle things and just different ministries and how things were going on around here. And I tell you, there's one thing about it, Brother Musher, I believe Brother Musher knows how to get a hold of God. And I saw this thing grow, and I've seen it grow over the past few years. I know you've been here for, what, 35 years now? 33 years, okay. But anyways, I've seen, in my 16 years here, I've seen God do some amazing things. And, or just throughout the years of knowing your preacher. And I said, boy, I want a ministry like that. I want to be a part of a ministry like that. I don't want to be a part of a dead church. I don't want a dead ministry. I don't want a ministry that just flops. I don't want to be a loser. I mean, I want to see God do something. I want to see God use me. And I just beg God, say, God, would you use me? Would you do something with my life? And, you know, sometimes, though, you will not be used of God until God puts you through some things. You will never be used of God in ways until you sacrifice a few things and yield yourself. And so I want to direct your attention to that one word there in verse 20. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And by the way, if there's ever an unction that I want it to be from, I want it to be from the Holy One. That word unction is an anointing, as I said. And if you look over in the same chapter that we were just reading a moment ago, and look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, it says this, but the anointing, if you were to look that up in the Strong's, that word anointing is the same word as unction, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And it says, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you in all things, he says, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it, talking about the anointing, hath taught you, ye shall, or the Holy Ghost has taught you, ye shall abide in him. I want to direct your attention here, if I could, to this word called yield. There's a word called yield that if we're going to have an anointing of God, we've got to be yielded to God. There's no way that you can be anointed by God until you yield to God. There's no way you're going to have unction in your life until you yield this body and this flesh, until you yield your heart, until you yield your mind, until you yield everything about you to the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if you want to see God, I'm going to teach you a new word. I think I made this up. I've never heard it before, Brother Musher. I think I made this up, but I use this when I preach this message before, and the word is called unctionized. I don't think you'll find it in the dictionary. But I want to be unctionized. Amen. Can you say unctionized? Unctionized.
Unctionized. You ought to want to be unctionized, okay? That means that you want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You want the Spirit of God to touch you in a way that you've never been touched before. You want to see God do something with your life like you've never seen God do something with your life before. Those of you that teach Sunday school, you want to see God use you as a Sunday school teacher like He's never used you before. Those of you that work on a bus route, you want to see God use you in that bus route like you've never been used before. I don't know about you, but I want to be unctionized. I want God to get a hold of me to the point that I am, and I don't even know if it's a legal word, and I don't know that you'll find it in the dictionary, but I want to be unctionized. I want the Holy Spirit of God all over me and all over my ministry. I want Him all over everything I do. And that ought to be what we want in our life, is to be unctionized. And here's the title of the message or the Bible study tonight is this: Unction Changes Everything. Unction changes everything. But the way you're going to get unction and the way I'm going to get unction is to be yielded, to be a yielded vessel. So number one tonight, the first point is this, is we must have a yielded vessel. Take your Bible and go over to Romans chapter 6 with me. Romans chapter 6 there. Romans chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 13 through 16 if you would. Romans chapter 6. Verses 13 through 16. And by the way, for those of you who have been praying for Homeline, and you met Brother John Solansky, who is one of our good men who was here just a few weeks ago. They started our Spanish ministry last Wednesday, and tonight was their second night to have the Spanish ministry. Pretty amazing. We've been praying for a Spanish pastor, and this guy just drops in on our ministry that like a week ago. I told Brother John, let's just start it. Let's just start it. You fake it. You make it. You just make it happen. We'll get an interpreter for you. You do whatever. Let's just do it, and God will provide. And sure enough, this guy just drops out of nowhere. He's a graduate from Golden State Baptist College, and he's been an assistant pastor somewhere out of California. He just drops in. And Brother John says, I'm using you next week. You just don't know it. And sure enough, we had 16 in the Spanish ministry tonight at church back home. Pretty amazing to see what the Lord did there. But anyways, a yielded vessel. If we're going to be unctionized, if we're going to have that unction that only the God and the Holy Spirit of God can give us, we must have and be yielded and have a yielded vessel. And that yielding is going to take us to our knees. That yielding is going to be through maybe a prayer time or a prayer life. And if you look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, if you take note there, it says in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now tonight, if you'll notice up there where it says, let's go down in verse 19, it says this. It says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to the iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. That word yield there is a very, very important word that we get a hold of. And here's what the way it works here. You just got to give yourself up in order to see God do something. You see, what we got to do is we got to use this old-fashioned altar like we've never used it before. We've gotten away from it. And boy, I tell you what, our churches have gotten away from just getting out of the pew and walking down to an old-fashioned altar and saying, okay, God, I'm yours. Use me. God, I am yours. Just do what you will with me. We neglect the altar anymore. We don't use it like we used to use it. And if we're going to have God unctionize us, if we're going to be unctionized like God, like we would want to be unctionized and be used by God, it's going to take a yielding. It's going to take us just giving ourselves up and going to God and saying, okay, God, here I am. Here I am, God, use me. Not very many people want to just say, here I am, use me, God, because a lot of times it takes sacrifice. A lot of times it takes, okay, God, whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, that's what I'll do. We don't want to do that much anymore. A yielding. You see, there's no unction without a yielded vessel. Unction changes everything. Once you've yielded, I want you to notice next is number two, there's no unction without a purified vessel. Take your Bibles and go to Malachi chapter 3 with me if you would. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Let me say, you might even say tonight, you say, well, you know, I'm just not anybody anyways. Well, you don't have to be anybody to be yielded. Anybody can have unction if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Malachi chapter 3, if you would. Malachi chapter 3. Unction changes everything. I want that Holy Ghost unction. I want that mighty power of God on my life and my ministry. Malachi chapter 3, are you there? Three of you are there, okay? All right. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, if you would, we'll read down through verse 4 there. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." It says, "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and in former year, as in former years." I want you to notice there in verse 2, it said this, "But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." You see, that refiner's fire is something that if we are going to be yielded, if we are going to have that unction that God wants us to have, we have got to put ourselves in that refiner's fire. I don't know about you, but I don't like fires. I don't like putting myself through something that is possibly torture. Brother Yates, I don't like that. I don't like putting myself through something that says, okay, this is going to hurt. But you know, when you allow yourself to go through that refiner's fire, first you yield yourself, you come to an old-fashioned altar, and what God is saying here is this, is you come to an altar, and then you just open your heart wide up, open to God, and you say, okay, God, whatever's inside of me that shouldn't be there, whatever's in my heart that shouldn't be there, I want you to clean me up. I want you to remove anything out of my life that shouldn't be there. Whatever's there, and by the way, you know what's there. You know what's going inside you. You know what's in your heart. You know how you're living or how you shouldn't be living. And the thing is you've got to go to God and say, God, there's something in me right now that shouldn't be there. Would you remove it? Yeah. Boy, that's hard. That's hard, you see. But you're not going to be unctionized. You're not going to see that power of God. You're not going to see that mighty hand of God in your life if you don't first yield yourself and then go to God and say, God, just clean me up from the inside out. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do, to go to God and say, God, just remove anything out of my life that shouldn't be there. Whatever's in my heart, you know, God, I got a little sin going on, but I kind of like it. Don't we? We do, don't we? And sometimes we got a little something going on in our life that we don't want to let go of. And sometimes we must go to God and say, God, look, there's something in me right now that shouldn't be there. Would you remove that? Because if we leave that there, God cannot use you at the fullest capacity that He wants to use you. He wants to use you, and you cannot be used, and I cannot be used when we've got something hanging on to us or something that's hindering us in our walk with God. You see, what we need to do is ask God to take all the impurities out. That's what the fire does. That's what the refiner's fire does. You know, if you go down and you have this silver and you want to purify the silver and you put it in the fire and up comes the silver and the dross off on the top and you move the dross and before you know it, you have pure silver. That's what God wants to do. God wants to remove the dross out of our life, but the only way it's going to happen is for us to yield. You know, usually God's not going to just go and say, hey, look, let me take that out of your life. Let me remove that sin out of your life. No, the only way that's going to go is when you ask God to remove it and you say, God, I'm giving it up. You see, God takes us through refiner's fire. That fuller soap is a cleansing. It's a purging that takes place. But let me say this, there's no unction without a purified vessel. You will not see a full yielding. You will not see a full, the power of God like you see. You can see it on your ministry and on your life and on your home and in your marriage without a full yielding. Without a purging, without a refiner's fire to take place in your life. You see, I want God to place an unction on my life. I want to be unctionized. unctionized. I want my ministry to be unctionized. I want my staff to be unctionized. I want my family to be unctionized. I want that special anointing that only God can give. But that's not going to come, Brother Huxley, without a yielding. That's not going to come without a fire, putting ourselves through that refiner's fire and just asking God to purify us. It starts with yielding. There must be a purification. And once we do that, then I believe there's great reward with an inspired vessel. Take your Bibles, if you would. Go to Job 32 with me. Job 32. Are y'all still awake? Amen. Job 32, if you would. Job 32. Think about it with me if you would. We go to the altar. The only way you come to the altar is you got to yield yourself. When the preacher says, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed and let's all stand to our feet, and you're standing there in your pew or right there, and the Holy Spirit of God starts tugging on your heart, Brother Brian. Starts tapping on you a little bit and saying, you need to go down there and pray. The only way you're going to get here is to yield yourself from there to get to here. You got to give yourself up and say, okay, I don't care what anybody else thinks, I'm going to the altar. I don't care. You see, pride keeps us in the pew way too many times. So we yield ourselves, and once we come down to the altar, then we open up our heart and say, okay, God, I want you to purify me. I want you to clean me out. I want you to make me a pure vessel. I want you to use me, God. I want that unction that only you can give. You see, there's not very many Christians that really want that unction from on high anymore. You see, we read about them in books all the time where these old-time preachers had the power of God on their life, and boy, preachers seeing souls saved all the time and winning people to Christ over and over and over again. But not many people want to yield themselves, and not many people want to go through the refiner's fire and just go down and say, okay, God, clean me out. But once he cleans you out, you yield yourself, and you just open up your heart, then there's room for him to come in and breathe into you that life that you've never seen before. Job chapter 32, if you would, with me. Job 32. Verse 8. Says this, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. There is a spirit in man. You know where that spirit comes? That inspiration of God comes? It comes from God. But it doesn't come from God without a yielding to God. If you would, take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me, and I won't be much longer. I'm not a long-winded preacher, amen. Ooh, I didn't hear any amens on that one. If you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Says, all scripture is given by what? Did you know that that word inspiration means God breathed? God breathed. Now look at it. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 with me if you would. Keep that inspiration word in mind and keep that definition of inspiration of being God breathed. And look with me if you would in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 there. And I want you to notice what happens when you yield yourself first. You desire that unctioning, that to be unctionized. You desire that fullness of the Spirit of God. You desire that power of God, Brother Jeremiah. You long to have God do something special in your life. First we see a yielding, then we see a purification take place. But I don't know about you, but I want to see God do something big, and I want to be an inspired vessel by God. And that word inspire means God breathed. And I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 2 with me, if you would there, and look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 with me. Genesis 2 and verse 7. Are you there? Say amen. That way I know you're awake with me. Verse 7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." And notice this, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of" what, church? Whoo, look at this. "And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a dead soul." That's not what it says. Man became a what?
Living.
A living soul. You know what just happened there? Here it is. God breathed into man after he formed him. He was just dust. He was just dirt. And God formed Adam and put this body together. And then he went down and he just looked down and he goes, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, that's exactly what happens to us when we yield ourselves, and then we clean ourselves out, go through the refiner's fire, then we say, okay, God, here I am, just use me. And he looks down, and I believe with a yielded vessel, and you're cleaned out, he looks down on there, and he just breathes into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul. You become life to the ministry. You become life to a Sunday school class. You become life to a bus ministry. You become life to whatever God has for you in your life. Man, I tell you what, that's exciting to me because I don't like death. I don't like being a part of something that's not alive. I don't want a ministry that's not alive. And I want to be unctionized. Oh, I want God's Holy Spirit of God, and I want His power, and I want Him all over me and inside of me, all around me. I just want God to use me. But oftentimes, we haven't been unctionized. We're too full of ourselves, and there's no room for God to go, because we're full of us. We're full of what we want. We're full of our desires. We're full of our, and you fill in the blank. You see, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'm afraid we don't have very many Christians that want to be unctionized today, because it takes a yielding. We don't have very many Christians that long for that marriage that is unctionized. We don't have very many teachers that want to be unctionized. You see, when you get unctionized, all of a sudden you start visiting your class. You start making phone calls for your class. You start going out of the way and doing things that you never thought you would do before. You start finding yourself at prayer meeting on Saturday, when you didn't really know you wanted to go to prayer meeting, but now you want to go to prayer meeting. You find yourself out knocking doors. How did I get here? Am I really door knocking? You know, for us being a church that's not real large, we still average 35 to 40 out soul winning every Saturday. Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting to see a bunch of people that says, you know what, I want to get in on that. That looks like good stuff. Some Christians saying, hey, you know what, I want some unction. You see, unction, when you get a hold of unction changes everything. Unction, boy, that anointing power, all of a sudden you find, you see, we've let the charismatic scare us, Brother Mutchler. That word, charisma. Charismatics, we've let them scare us into thinking, well, boy, that's way out there. And boy, I don't know, we might get too excited for God, so therefore I can't have any of that. Hey, listen, it's okay for Baptists to get excited too. Don't let them steal our shout, amen. Don't let them steal your excitement, and don't let them steal your joy. Hey, just because we're Baptists doesn't mean we can't get excited too. We can get excited and we can say amen. And by the way, it's okay to say hallelujah. There you go. It's okay. It's okay in a Baptist church. But unction changes everything. Unction, an anointing by God. But you know what we're going to have to find a little more often? The prayer closet. We've neglected the prayer closet. And you know that's where we find a lot of unction. It's from the prayer closet. Because you know in the prayer closet there's not a lot of glory. There's nobody patting you on the back in the prayer closet. There's nobody bragging on you in the prayer closet. There's nobody saying good job in the prayer closet. Boy, you get in that prayer closet, let me tell you something. Holy Spirit of God comes and meets with you. You'll find some unction. Here recently, after preaching this, I thought, man, I better get a hold of this thing myself. I decided I was going to start walking every morning. I was walking 3 and 4 and 5 miles in the morning just to talk to the Lord. I said, you know, I just want to get out and walk with you, Lord. I just want to get out and get some of that unction. I want to be unctionized. There's not very many Christians that really want to be unctionized. There's not very many people that want that unction from God. We're starving today for unction. Unction changes everything. But let me ask you, do you want any of that unction? How bad? Let's have our head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We're not going to get unction until we yield. And then we got to go to God and just say, God, would you cleanse me? God, would you purify me? Remove anything out of my life that shouldn't be there. And then once it's removed, then we just go to God and say, God, breathe on me. Breathe in me the breath of life.